This next conversation between American standard American speaker, as she considers herself, and Canadian from Nova Scotia, you'll hear an awful lot of similarity, but one or two differences. The main sound to listen to in the Canadian speaker is that constant upward intonation pattern that occurs in the middle of the sentence, so everything goes up, everything goes up. They talk quite extensively about what they hear as the differences, so I will actually let them do the work.
Actually, because I was working out living arrangements with Thomas, and we had a Skype conversation. I was like, oh my gosh, he's got such a cute Canadian accent. But you know, but the more I speak to Canadians, the less I hear the accent, and I think maybe I've picked up a couple of things, but really it's only the few words that I hear now, and which is on sorry and about. Mm-hmm. Those are the main ones.
Yeah.
That's the way I would say it.
I mean, I think it's hard sometimes too, because a lot of the people who would be the best for this are the people who are still in like the rural parts of Canada. I know that living in a big city with lots of different influences has changed my accent a lot. Not as significantly as, not crazily, but I used to work in an office, and I have this very vivid memory of I had gone home to visit my family, and I had been there for, you know, a week or so long enough to sort of get back into the swing of it without even really realizing. And I came back to Toronto, and I was in the office, and I said to someone, like, normally I would say, can you pass me my coat? And I said, oh, Scott, can you pass me my coat? And like, that's the East Coast. Like, give me my coat. Yeah. Like, so I think that there's also that aspect of it, that it kind of comes in and out, and we sort of adapt, but...
Absolutely. I had a really funny experience. After living in the UK for 2 years, I went back to Detroit for the summer to get a job, and I went into this job interview. It was like a restaurant or something. And I did my interview, and he's like, wow, so you've got a little bit of a British accent there. And I was like, no, I don't. Are you kidding? You just have a really strong Michigan accent. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't even think I can do a Michigan accent because it's so nasal and... Mm-hmm. Ma'am instead of like mom. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so
when I worked
so
in
weird.
Florida, I used to have people come up to me all the time and say, oh, you're Canadian, aren't you? And I'd be like, yeah, who can tell by the way that you say A sometimes.
You do say it all the
I
time.
I say A all the time. I do.
That's true about Canadians.
That is really true. Scottish people do it too, though. I almost said A there and I stopped myself. But yeah, no, Yeah, it's interesting. They also, again, I said sorry or something, and they were like, "Oh, you said sorry." Whatever. We don't say a boot though. That's the only thing.
Well, it's not quite a boot, but it's like a boot. I can't do it.
What are you talking about? It's about, not a boot. What are you talking about?
But it's different than my about. A little bit.
That's like one of my friends had one of my friends did a show at the Fringe Festival, and one of her jokes was like, just don't tell Canadians they say a boot. It's like the only thing that makes us angry. Because we don't say a boot.
But it's really interesting. And I think America is such a vast country that you have so many different accents. But the thing is, because you've got like bigger regions of accents, so like the differences are so subtle between like states. Like if you go Michigan to Ohio and Illinois, the accents are so similar, they're just slightly different. And then as soon as you hit Kentucky, it's really strong Southern accent. Or, you know, you go out to LA and it's a very different accent in New York, but it's quite gradual. As you know, if you're just driving along, you're not going to hear a sudden difference right away.
Some of it too is like the intonation or whatever. I was watching, one of my uncles did the ice bucket challenge, and my grandmother and my grandfather poured the ice bucket over him, and they're in their 80s. They're like 80 and 82. And my uncle was like, okay, do it. And my grandmother leans over and she goes, are you sure? And like that, you know, like it's just as much about the way that you put, are you sure? Mm. All right. Ooh, that was good. That, you know, like it's as much about sort of the inflections. Like I find the East Coast has quite a colorful sort of tessitura of the way that they talk. Yeah. Whereas the more west you go, it tends to be a little more like the plains, like the prairies. They get a little more flat. They have the long A's.
I think it's also interesting to observe how people who grew up in the same place at different times and different generations have, you know, completely different accents, because the way that my grandparents speak, they're from Boston, would not be the way someone my age from Boston speaks. Mm. you know, but they may have grown up in the same place.
It's hard to, like, because my family is quite smart, both my parents were teachers, and because I grew up speaking French, basically around at the same time that I was speaking English, I started speaking French at 2 or something, and spoke French at home the whole time with my mom and my siblings. All my schooling was in French. So it's like even my accent is more affected than other people who grew up in my area because I had two languages at all times. Right. So it was like that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how many of the Canadians also speak French and how their accents differ, because people who are in, you know, French immersion, we called it. So, you know, even if you weren't a French speaker, you went to school in French, they often have quite a different accent. So...
And you have to learn French, don't you, as a Canadian or something?
You have to take a bit of it. You can take core French, which is like the bare minimum. Like you might take Spanish or something in the States. You take it
like we have to take Spanish in high school.
When do you start taking Spanish? And like
the earliest you can take it, I think, is like 8th grade, which is age 12.
I think they have to start taking French. That's age 12 for you? I think it's grade 6, which is like 12 or 13, something like that, I think. But yeah, there's two completely separate programs. You can be in immersion, which means that you're not a French speaker, like you're not a Francophone, a native French speaker, but you take all of your schooling in French so that you're completely fluent and bilingual by the end of it. But
yeah.
Or you can do core French, which is the basics, or you can go to a Francophone school, which is intended for people who are like native French speakers, and they test your parents. You have to have at least one French speaking parent at home, and they bring the parents in and interview them, and if they don't think that your parent has significant French background, they can refuse you from coming to the school.
That's really
bet you didn't know that.